We are on the topic of fear, overcoming fear. And this morning we want to consider some Hebrew words on fear. They're all together about 8 Hebrew words, and if you include 2, there are slight deviations, there would have been 10. And each one of these speak about different aspects of fear altogether, which we will classify them together. Fear is a force that is real out there in the world, and fear is a force that you encounter almost every day. Every day you see fear around you. And the Hebrew language has one of the richest expressions of fear and all the different aspects of it, just like there are 7 main Hebrew words for praise and worship. So there are about 10 Hebrew words, but we're going to classify 3 of them as from the same root word, and that will be the Hebrew word Megora, Mego, and Megura. They are all from the same root word. So, minusing all those 3 into 1, we have only 8 Hebrew words to deal with. And first of all, let's look at the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 16. Exodus, chapter 15, verse 16. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as steel as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. One of the first words in Hebrew for fear is the word Emma, E-M-A-H, Emma. And the word Emma is a word that also means terror. And as we study that Hebrew word for fear, Emma, we realize that it relates to a certain type of fear. And in this particular case, as quoted in Exodus 15, it seems to point to the fear of judgment. A fear that comes into human life knowing that this life, we are accountable to somebody. No matter who we are, whether we be king or pauper, that we all finally not only account to some human being, but we account to a higher power, a higher being, Almighty God, who exists. Whether we believe He exists or not makes no difference, for we still have to give account of our lives to Him. And Emma is a fear of judgment. And that fear is present to those who do not know Him, who do not have a personal relationship with Him. We praise God that fear of judgment is removed when we were born again. And we need to differentiate the fear of judgment from the other Hebrew word which we will look later, Yira, which means reverence. And it's a totally different thing altogether. We have and we will need to have the fear of God in our lives. But that fear of God is something positive. It's different from the word Emma, which is a fear of judgment. For example, some of us, if we are young believers or we came to know God, perhaps you came to know God because of the fear of judgment. And if all your life you fear God because of that, you will not be very developed in your spirit. You will remain like a little child. And many people come into the kingdom of God because of the fear of eternal judgment. They fear for what God will do to their lives. And what will happen is they do not have an intimate relationship with God. They would be at a distance from God all the time. Yira fear brings you close, but Emma fear keeps you at a distance. In the book of Proverbs, which we'll find the book of Proverbs clarify a lot of these areas here, and chapter 20, verse 2, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2, the wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. Now the word wrath in verse 2 is from the word fear. From the same word Emma, which is normally translated fear. So we could have put here the terror of a king. It's like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. It talks about a position of authority, a king. The terror or the judgment of a king. Now all those words, if we put the word judgment in, would still bring clarity to these words here. Of course, verse 3 is a very nice little verse, but it's not related to the topic. You may want to read it down too. And verse 2 clearly states that Emma is related to a terror of judgment. Some people are terrorized by judgment that is to come. And that is the first three types of fear we're going to consider is a fear that is present among the world. And as a believer, we should be free from this type of fears, the fear of judgment, Emma. The second type of fear, and this time we look at the book of Psalms, is one book before Proverbs. Psalms 31, verse 13. And that's the word Megora, which also has its form as Megura and Megor. And this is one of the clearest verses by which it expresses it out in verse chapter 31, verse 13. Says, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. Now, as I researched the Hebrew word Megora, Megor and Megura, it seems to point to a fear of war and destruction. A fear of circumstances that do not work out the way it should. So the fear of judgment is something that is in the future. Whereas the fear of Megora, the Megora fear, is a fear that comes upon a person's life when things are not working out. When suddenly a disaster comes, or things are not in control. A fear that prevents people, this kind of fear prevents people from surrendering to God. For to surrender to God is to surrender the control of our life to Him. And the Megora fear can grip people so hard that they find it difficult to surrender to God. For they find it difficult to let go. It's a fear that grips people when they lose control. For us, if we surrender to God, we have peace. Sometimes the opposite happens, and Megora fear prevents a person from trusting others. Everyone is a suspect. That's a Megora fear that is in a person's life, and a person needs deliverance. The first three types of fear we need deliverance from. And Megora fear takes place when war happens. People talk about the fear of war. It comes. Because when war takes place, fear grips the heart of man. But what kind of fear? It's the fear knowing that they do not know the future anymore. The war can go this way or that way. Destruction can suddenly come. And circumstances are no more working the way it is. Things are not going from glory to glory, faith to faith anymore. It is instead in a turmoil. And Megora fear grips people when chaos sets in. You need to get a tape on chaos, and in the life of Paul, we touch on chaos, to understand that chaos is a part and parcel of God's working in our life. It's the transition period from one transition to another, one phase to another. And we can trust in God. Megora fear. The third area of fear is found in Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 12. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that these people call a conspiracy. Nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. It says, do not be afraid of what they'll say. The old King James put it this way. Do not fear their fear. Sometimes people fear the fear. And it's quite a deep thing. And here the Hebrew word is a word from the word Mora. Mora, M-O-R-A, Mora. And it means a a surrounding fear. It means a fear that seems to cut you off completely. It's a fear of fear itself, where on the left and on the right, all is fear. It's related to Megora, but slightly different. Megora relates to the sword and destruction that comes, and actual physical natural circumstances. But Mora fear is psychological. It's something that seems to surround you all the time. And there may not be a circumstance of destruction. In fact, things may be going peacefully around you, but yet fear surrounds you. Almost like what Job said, that while everything was going on, fear surrounds him still. And he operated in fear. And Mora fear would be what we have been touching on so far in the past two sessions on fear, where we are talking about the fears that come from inside. Megora fear is a fear that comes from outside. It actually is happening. And you're challenged whether to reject the fear or accept the fear. But Mora is something that surrounds your spirit. Surrounds your spirit. And the circumstances may be there or may not be there. Here in Isaiah, as you see, nothing has happened yet. It's a fear of their fear. It's a fear of their threats. And that kind of fear grips a person and can have different effects. Now, the first three Hebrew words for fear talk about more the operation of fear as a terror, and as a terror in terms of judgment, as a terror in terms of natural circumstances, as a psychological terror like Mora that grips our lives. So the first three types of fear as described in the Hebrew word as we study it is a fear that is an operational section of fear. How, what causes it, what the root areas that bring it about. But as we go deeper in the study of the Hebrew word in fear, we realize that there is a different Hebrew word that talk about our reaction and the causes and what fear actually does to our lives. The first three words that we consider only talk about how it operates and due to what reasons. But the next three Hebrew words, which all are classified under point number four. Because under point number four, you have point one, point two, point three, right? Emma, Megora, and Mora. Now, point number four, and the fourth Hebrew word for fear, our fourth area, is where we classify three Hebrew words into one section. And that is the fear of man. The fear of man can operate, as the Hebrew word shows us, in three different realms. And it can cause three different effects. The fear of man. And let's look at the scriptures here in the book of Joshua, chapter 22, verse 24. Joshua 22, verse 24. It says here, but in fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? Now the incident here is in regard to the Israelites. The Israelites have crossed the land of Canaan, but there were two and a half tribes that stayed on the other side of the river Jordan. If you remember the end of the book of Numbers, they told Moses, look, our children are many, our flocks are many. Let us stay on this side, but when you all go to fight against the Canaanites and the Hittites, etc., we will fight for you all. But our inheritance we prefer on this side of the river. And the book of Joshua records the conquest of the land of Canaan through Joshua as a captain. And when everything was conquered and sort of reasonable peace came about, although there were small pockets of guerrilla warfare that would still need to be fought. And the land was divided into all the various tribes. These two and a half tribes from over here came to the river Jordan and built a huge monument. And all the other tribes heard about it. The other tribes heard about it and came to inquire and to find out what was happening. Are they going to go back to worshipping idols like the time of the Egyptians? And so when they came, these words in Joshua 22 verse 24 was spoken by the tribes who built that monument, saying that they were afraid, the fear of man. They were afraid that at some point in the future, their descendants may say to these descendants here, you have no part in Israel. So it was the fear of man. Their relationship was good in Joshua's time. But they were afraid that in their children's time, and in the children's time, the other side, they will come and say, you have nothing to do with us. You're all outcasts. It was a fear of men that gripped them. And that word, Hebrew word here in Joshua 22 verse 24, is a special Hebrew word, and it's the word diaga. Diaga. D-E-A-G-A-H. Diaga. And all this is under point number 4. Point number 4 got 3 Hebrew words. Diaga, if you have a reference Bible and you examine the Hebrew word, diaga also means sorrow. Diaga also means grief. Grief and sorrow. It's been translated as sorrow too. And yet, its general meaning means fear. And what it's saying here is that the fear of man can affect your soul and rob you of your joy. Point number 4 tells us what the fear of man can do to your life. Why is it that some people never have joy? It's because they have the fear of man, the agar, sucking like a leech, sucking their joy out of their soul. Now, not all people who are sorrowful or long faces have the agar. But there is one of the causes of the lack of joy in a Christian's life. Can you imagine? If you're fearful of man all the time, you will never be relaxed, you'll never be comfortable, you'll never be filled with joy, you're always looking around. But we all, in studying English, we all think that just fear just makes you generally suspicious. But there's so many types of fear that can make you suspicious of others. Here is the aga, which reaches a point that it starts destroying your soul. The soul that lacks joy and peace is a soul that is sick. Just as physical body can be sick, the soul can be sick. And our spirit that's not born again was dead. And so here is the word diaga, which means sorrow. The other Hebrew word will be taken from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. And in verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. The word fear is from a different Hebrew word, charada, or charada, however they pronounce it, C-H-A-R-A-D-A-H. It's also the fear of man, but it's even from the ada. The yada causes sorrow. But karaba, sounds like some of your tongue, karaba, karaba, karaba. But no, you may not be speaking Hebrew. But this is karada, so different. Yours is karaba, karaba. But here is karada. Karada here means a trembling, a shivering, a shaking, tension. Adrenaline pouring out upon your blood vessels. In other words, the fear of man in its second form can affect your physical health.
You never realize such things can be done through fear.
Is it faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith can bring about something substantial through our belief in God. Something invisible into the natural realm. Something intangible to be something tangible. Fear has the same ability in its negative aspect. Fear has the ability to bring something invisible into a natural realm. That is why if you are afraid of the devil, you will most probably see the devil. Just as you have faith in God, you will see God's manifestation. And that is why some people, because they have a fear of evil powers, constantly see them manifest. How did they manifest? Where did they have the right to manifest? Their fear is being used in the opposite form of faith for the demons to manifest. Fear is faith in demons and faith in the devil. That's how they could manifest in their lives, and people actually see tangible manifestations. A lot of times, things like charms, etc., operate through fear. The gripping fear brings something real into a person's life. I remember one missionary who was out in Africa, and they were using all kinds of things against the missionary. And one day, the missionary came out of his house, and he saw a dead chicken with the blood still flowing out, with a neck chopped off right in his doorstep. The average preacher will look at that and say, "Oh, finished already. Got cursed." The preacher took the chicken, said thank you, and cooked it and had a nice meal. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He was also praying for food. And so we realized that another person could die because of the fear. And there was a certain village somewhere where people are so afraid of the main wizard or witch doctor that when a witch doctor makes a curse, people actually die. And then people see the results of that curse and say, "It is real. He really has some power." Basically, the operation of fear in Karada has brought about a physical manifestation. Strictly speaking, the word Karada means trembling. A real physical trembling that comes into people's lives. And it's the second effect of the fear of man. The fear of man can destroy your health. It can give you a lot of stomach ulcers. It can cause you insomnia. It can cause you heart trouble. And all things that physically manifest. Why your adrenaline is pumping so hard that your poor heart has aged about 40 years while you age 2 years. And you actually die of the physical effects of fear. Karada fear is the fear of men. The first, diada, affects your soul. Karada affects your body. The third area of the fear of men, this time we'll look at the book of Job, chapter 41, verse 33. Job 41, verse 33. 41:33, and it says here, "On earth there is nothing like him which is made without fear." Without fear. And you notice that the context is in 41 verse 1, Leviathan. Leviathan. And that word fear, in chapter 41:33, means to be dismayed or to be broken. It has a different root word. And as I study the word in Hebrew, which is the word cuffed, and romanized as C-H-A-T-H, cuffed, it's different from diada, and it's different from karada, and different from, it's different. The word cuffed also means the fear of man. And it says,
There is none like Leviathan, who is not afraid of man at all. See, the root meaning is there. Leviathan is not afraid of man. The devil is not afraid of ordinary man. He's only afraid of Jesus in us. And we who are made in the image of Jesus. See, the devil and Leviathan, which represents one of the aspects of the devil, says that this thing in him, that the fear of man doesn't affect him in that area. And when we use the name of Jesus and the devil flees in fear and terror from us, like in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it's because he's afraid of God in the name of Jesus. Not so much he's afraid of us. Remember that. And this word kaf, which means to be broken, to be dismayed, and used in other places, speaks about the fear of man causing a brokenness in our spirit. It speaks about confidence being taken out of your spirit. Now, fear can affect your soul. Fear can affect your physical body. That is, the fear of man can affect your soul and rob you of your joy. The fear of man can cause physical symptoms on your body that kills you. The fear of man can in the end break your spirit. The fear of man can break a person's spirit. It depends on what degree people yield to the fear of man. The most obvious fear of man that people have is, for example, shyness, but that's only a small degree. But the other area of fear of man is a fear of criticism, fear of what people will say, fear of people's opinion, etc. And this fear, if we do not guard against it, will enter our lives until it reaches all three realms. Perhaps in some people's life it has begun in one realm, either the Ada, Karada, or the area of Kef. And we need to guard against them, realizing that the fear of man can result in a broken spirit. A broken spirit is not enough to do things. Although it's different from the other word broken, which is used positively, having a broken, which means a contrite spirit, a humility of spirit. But here the broken, with the word calf, is a destructive brokenness, so that a person is more crushed. Right? We are struggling for English words to describe what the Hebrew is saying. It's different from where it's a positive point, having a humble spirit, a broken spirit, a mixed spirit, a broken and contrite spirit. But here, the real meaning of kaf is a crushed spirit. A spirit that's so crushed that the person doesn't want to live anymore. A spirit that's so crushed, which is what caused people to say, I give up. A spirit that's so crushed that people lost all their joy, lost all their physical zeal, and all they want to do is give up. It's a crushed spirit, and it's caused by the fear of man. That's the worst form it can take. When it affects the spirit, it's very, very hard to deliver a person. Which is why many commit suicide when their spirit is crushed. And they lose all initiative. They could be the most brilliant people where success can come and many new creative things can come from their life to bless mankind and humanity. But just a crushed spirit will destroy it. Now we look at a positive area, point number 5, which would be the Hebrew word for reverence, the word yirah, Y-A-R-A-H. The word yirah means the fear of God. And it's strictly translated as reverence. How do we define reverence? Reverence is honor and respect mixed with love and awe. Reverence is honor and respect. See, the fear of man has no respect, has no honor. You don't fear men because you honor them. Whereas reverence is where you honor them, you respect them, and it's mixed with love because you do have love feelings towards them. And yet it's mixed with awe. What is awe? awe is the natural fear of the supernatural. So that's where reverence has a spiritual connotation involved. And Yira is used several times in the Bible, and it will cause and it will flow positively in four areas. Point number five has four sub-points. Number one, famously in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 1. The Yira of the Lord has a positive input into our lives. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are many other places that talk about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, like Psalms, etc. We realize here that fear, the fear of God, the Yira of God, produces wisdom in our life. It's positive. It's different from the other type of Hebrew words for fear. So number one, it gives you wisdom. How does it give wisdom? See, the fear of God, Yira, means to take God at His word, even though we don't understand that, and as a result of taking God at His word, we become wiser because we begin to understand what His commands are. It's almost like a little child who doesn't understand why the father tells him or her not to touch the fire. Don't touch the fire. Don't cross the road without looking left and right. And then one day the little child sees perhaps a cat burns its tail in the fire. Ah, I understand. So wisdom has come into the child without the child being injured. Because the child feared or have respect and honor for the parent's instruction. And the child has love for the father's instruction. And the child understands that the father meant well. And so the child, out of respect, obey. It's not obey without respect. It's obey out of respect for the father, or for the parents, or for Almighty God, Yira. And out of due respect, that later the wisdom comes. And the Yira fear, the wisdom that comes, is almost like an impartation. Where somebody else for 30 years they discover what is right and what is wrong. And it will take us the same 30 years, if we are as good, if not as good, maybe 50 years, to discover the same thing they discover within 30 years. And instead of taking the length of time, we just follow their instructions. And then later on, we begin to understand why they are saying all those things. And so within 5 years, we absorb 30 years of wisdom that they have established. And that's what Yira does. It brings to us a recognition that there is a ruler outside us. Although we are guided by our conscience, yet we are also given commands to obey. As we obey them, we will grow wise. We don't question them. We respect them. Therefore, we obey them and the wisdom comes. That's the first thing that can result from Yira, wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Also in Proverbs, this time in chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The second thing that Yira will do in a person's life, and these are also examples of truly whether a person fear God and have reverence for their life, or whether it's a fear of man, or what kind of fear. Some people say they fear God. Perhaps their fear of God is Emma. Perhaps their fear of God is Megora. Perhaps their fear of God is Mora. You see, the first three words that they consider can also produce a certain form of fear that looks like reverence, but it's different. It's totally different. Well, Proverbs 8 verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's a Yira too. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Now in verse 13 here, Yira fear will give you the nature of God. It not only gives you the mind of God, it gives you the nature of God. How wonderful to have the mind of God. Yira fear will give you the nature. You begin to feel the emotions of God, if I can put it in a very down-to-earth way. You begin to feel what God feels about sin. You begin to hate sin the way God hates sin. You begin to have the awful vomiting sensation that God has when it comes to sin. In other words, God said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The kind of intolerance feeling that you sense. Instead of being attracted, you're turned off by it. That's what Yira will do to your life. But amazingly, while it affects your emotion, it must affect your mouth. It's astonishing when you begin to study Yira fear that unless Yira fear has affected our conversation and our life. In other words, Yira fear will produce wisdom, Yira fear will produce the control of the tongue and your mouth. How do you know someone don't have the fear of God in their life? By the words they say. No matter how much they try to deceive people that they have the fear of God in their life, if you know that they cannot control their tongue, they do not have the fear of God. Look at the book of Psalms. And we're looking at Psalm chapter 34. Same word Yira here, Psalms 34. Remember, when you walk with people and you know people don't have the fear of God, Yira, in their life, you have to walk at a different level. We walk according to people's level. Like Paul said, recognizing the weak among the weak, recognizing the strong, people have different levels of faith, people have different relationships with God, different depths of relationship with God. And we have to understand that when people don't have the fear of God in their life, you cannot have the intimacy you desire that we call fellow Christian fellowship. Not all Christians have the fear of God on their life, sadly to say. In fact, some have Yira in their life. They only fear judgment, but they don't have reverence, the Yira. And Psalm 34, in verse 11, the psalmist says, "Come, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the Yira, the fear of the Lord." And he's going to teach us how to fear the Lord. He's going to teach us how to exercise Yira and reverence for God. Not the Emma, the terror of judgment. Not fearing of what God is going to do to me when I disobey. No, we don't obey God or keep to the right thing just because we're afraid of God spanking us. I mean, parents, if all your children does is not do something just because they're afraid of being spanked, You have only given them the commands, but haven't given them the training. In any child training book, they will tell you, it's not important to spank, it's important to explain. So that they not only know what is wrong, they know why it's wrong. So when you only emphasize what is wrong, and you haven't emphasized why it's wrong, you haven't trained them, you have only, in a military way, commanded them. And here in the book of Psalms, it tells us, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'll show you what it really is, what Yira fear. We don't want our children to obey us without honor. We don't want our children to obey us without respect. Do you know children can obey you and yet they don't like it? You know what happens? They're angry inside. Just like a mother telling a little boy in John Osteen's church, he was describing it. And he talks about how one little boy keeps standing on the pew and shouting, "Ah!" And then the mother, you know, says, "Sit down." And then the child says, "Ah!" And in the end, the mother gives a child a quick whack and pull the child down, shut the child's mouth up, and etc. And the child sit there. You could see that it was beginning to cause karada. And trembling. And so what happens as the child is sitting there, and the child says, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." See, what you have is a child's physical obedience, but you don't have the child's soul and spirit obedience. Yira brings obedience of spirit, soul, and body. Do you know that criminals obey the law to a certain extent only as long as the policeman is there? Now, that kind of obedience is not what God wants. He wants us to obey Him without this big spanker following us. He wants us to obey Him because we love Him, we honor Him, we respect Him. And that's what Yira is. It's a positive fear. In Psalm 34 here, it says, "Come, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." It says, "Who is a man who desires life?" Now, he's still continuing on the same subject. He's introducing a subject that he's teaching us to fear God.
and loves many days that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil. If you fear God, do not let loose your mouth. One of the first things you control if you have the fear of God in your life is not your actions, it's your tongue. That is why the little boy can obey on the outside, but on the inside he's still standing up and his tongue is saying, I'm still standing up. You have gone outward obedience without inward obedience. And why you talk about the tongue? Because to control the tongue takes an inward obedience. You know how difficult it is to control the tongue? And so the Bible says, unless a man is perfect, their tongue cannot be controlled. Keep thy tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, which comes first? Keep your mouth from speaking evil first before you can keep your feet from doing evil. If any man cannot control their tongue, they cannot control their actions. And that is why we must be wise. If you begin to see people speak evil, they will do evil. They don't do evil and then speak evil. They always speak evil first and then do evil. Of course, before that is they think evil. The progression is there. So talking about the fear of God, number one, it will produce wisdom. Yira will produce A, wisdom. B, it will produce a controlled, perfect mouth, where no guile comes from your mouth. And you speak only like what Paul says, what is good, edifying, positive, having virtue, having praise, having honor. For Yira has a lot to do with honor and respect and love. It's Proverbs 22, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. And let's look at verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. The same word Yira here. In Proverbs 22 verse 4, it's telling us that the fear of God will produce humility in your life. It doesn't produce a crushed spirit, but it will produce a contrite spirit in your life. Because you fear God, you have self-restraint. Because you fear God, you die to self. That's why we need to fear God. For in fearing God, we surrender the rights to our life. And we surrender our self-righteousness. We surrender our own justification. We surrender everything of ourselves to God and lay it on the hands of God Almighty. In other words, you become just a subject. He becomes the ruler and Lord and sovereign King over your life. That's the third thing it will produce, humility. As we saw in earlier quotations just now in Proverbs, that pride, arrogance, and a perverse mouth are things God hates. When you don't have the fear of God in your life, you will be a very proud person and a very arrogant person. And only the fear of God can cause humility in a person's life. The fourth result of Yira is found in Proverbs again, this time in chapter 14, verse 26. And it's the very opposite of the other types of fear. Proverbs 14, verse 26. It says, in the Yira of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence and his children will have a place of refuge. The fourth result of the fear of the Lord is boldness. Now that is different from the other fear. We know in the natural fear cannot produce boldness. But yet, Yira and the fear of the Lord produces boldness, because when you fear God Almighty with Yira, honor, respect, and love, and awe, you do not fear any single thing on the earth anymore.